to see you all. I really resonate with what Brother Charles has said about what's going on in this country right now. Of course, especially the election year. And of course, every time when we need to elect a president, we never get a perfect person that we are happy to wholeheartedly to embrace and elect. Usually it's so-called less of the evils. And I understand that and accepted that. But this year I really have a difficult time. I really, really, really struggle. Because I don't know which one is less of the two evils. Finally, I have come to the conclusion, because president, if he is not there, the nation is going to continue to function. It will. Okay? It's going to take a long time to have problems. One of the biggest effect of a president is the appointment of the Supreme Court justice. And they are lifetime. And that effect is going to hold for a long, long time. So this year, what I'm looking at is not what they can do by themselves, because the worst is only 8 years. So what I'm thinking about is who is going to appoint the right kind of justice? Or who is going to appoint the wrong kind of justice? In fact, it is very, very urgent now. So right now, I'm not electing a president. I'm trying to elect a Supreme Court justice through electing the president. Okay? So that's just my two cents about politics. And we were told so many times by everybody, the media, but even the churches accept this concept that Christians should not get into politics. Do you agree?
Yes.
If you agree? What is politics? By definition, politics meaning to govern the affairs of the public. Okay? Is that fair? Governing the affairs of the public. And we were told, yes, you have the freedom of religion. You can believe whatever you want to believe. However, once you step into your company, step into your business, you have to check them at the door. And most of the people agree with that. But that is wrong. Because if that were true, what are they saying? They're saying you may believe, but you may not live your belief. And what do we call that kind of people? What do we call them? Hypocrites. So they forced us to be hypocrites. That's not right. That's not right. So sometimes we have to make a choice. And we are making choice every day anyway. Sometimes we make a choice, we choose to do wrong. Well, there are consequences there. And we pay a price for it. Right? That's why we try not to do bad things. Because there are consequences, there are price to pay. But have you ever thought about there are price to pay for choosing to do the right thing? In fact, most of the time, that price is much higher. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes you have to choose to do the right thing, and then you pay dearly for it. And yesterday, when I was doing my devotion, and I had this thought, I believe it's coming from God. It's just reminding me, he's saying, the price you pay for doing wrong, it's called penalty. You've been punished for it. The price you pay for doing right, for choose doing right, that is not a penalty. That's called investment. We invest our life in doing what God said is right. And God allows the environment, our circumstances, and even politics mostly, to go south. Then what do you do? Well, the easiest things to do is go with the flow. Okay? But that's not what God wants us to do. You know, on the river, you see two things are moving. One is the leaves on the surface. Another thing are the fish. Okay? A lot of the fish, they go against the flow. They know what they're doing. They know what they want to do. Leaves go with the flow. They're dead. So today, the topic I want to share with you is called identity and mission. Identity and mission. Let's read the text today. Okay? This is the text. I hope you can see it. You can read it clearly. It's not really that long. Let's read it together. Alright? Okay, go. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you called on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised from the dead and glorify him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, and we do not understand why do you love us. Sometimes I thought, if I were you, I wouldn't love me. Yet, I'm glad you are God, I am not, that you always do the right things, always do the beautiful things, always do the charitable things. Your grace is just so, so great. I thank you. Thank you for not abandoning me. Thank you for choosing me. And even willing to give me the responsibility of preaching your word. Lord, I am I am so overwhelmed of your love and your decision. Lord, you have chosen each one of us today here to come here to worship you, to listen to your word. So Lord, I just pray your spirit will be with us. Your spirit will guide us to hear your word, to understand your word, to obey your words, and to live your word according to your desire for our lives. Lord, thank you. Be with us now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Speaking of elections, the last president that I thought I could identify with a little bit more is President Bush. In fact, he said something that impressed me at a certain time. At a certain time of his presidency, his popularity or approval rating was sky high. Very, very high. Okay? And then one day he said something that really made me think. You know what he said? He said, I have this popularity right now is so high, that is my capital, and I need to use it. I never thought about something like that. So in other words, the popularity or the approval rating is, it's a resource. It's like money, right? The most useless money is what kind of money, do you know? The money in the bank. It's not being used. It just sit there doing nothing. Okay? When you have money without using it, that money is just like a stone. In fact, there's a Chinese story. It's called that there is no 300 ounces of silver here. A man who have 300 ounces of silver, he was so happy, he wanted to keep it, and he didn't know what to do. There were no bank at that time. So what they say is, what he thought is, okay, I'm going to just bury it. He buried it. And he wasn't sure about the security, so what he did, he put a sign there. He said, there is no 300 ounces silver down here. That's what he did. Okay? So right now the Chinese oftentimes use that about somebody who's not very smart. Okay? And then one day, do you know what happened? He go over there. It's gone. You can probably expect it that, right? It's gone. And he was so sad, he went around and you know what? The next day, there's another sign on it. And the sign says, Robert next door didn't take it. It talked about, of course, the silly things. But anyway, my point is that when you have as a resource, that resource is for you to use. President Bush, he used that resource and did some unpopular things, and then later on his popularity really, you know, dropped down real, real low. But my point here is that almost every president went through some problems, went some crisis. And of course, Bush, because he was very, very recent, so we remember those things. So his popularity or the reputation was really dragged down by these disasters. But every president have that. And I came up with a very strange thought. If you were given the choices to be one of the president of the United States, which one would you want to be? Of course, this is, imaginary. If God gave you this choice, that you can be one of the president, which one you want to be? My first thought is, anybody except Bush. Look at all those things that he has to go through. And there's no easy answer. You know? But most of people, most of the president, they have issues, they have crisis they have to go through. So I have a problem. I didn't know what to do. I definitely don't want to be Lincoln, you know. After all, he was shot. He got killed. I don't want to be that. But then when I start processing this whole thing, the real question came to me. I believe that's what God put into my mind. What's the real issue? The real issue is, how are you going to live your life? Do you want to live your life in a very, very comfortable, smooth way from your birth to your death? A lot of parents saying, I'm not really want to pressuring my children to do this or do that. All I care about is they live a peaceful and happy life. Your parent ever said something like that to you? You know, peaceful and happy life. That's all I want. After so many years living a life and learning and reading God's word and all kind of a thinking, finally I came to a conclusion. No, that's not the kind of a life I want to live. That kind of a life has only one word to describe. What's the word? Boring. Don't you use that word a lot? That's a very, very boring life. That is not much better than the turkey in the Iowa farm. They live a very peaceful life. They got food to eat and they got everything, right? And then they die. Of course, they got eaten. But what's the difference? How you die, you die. How you die doesn't really make that much difference. Yeah, actually, it does. Actually, it does. So the point is, not to avoid problems, is how do we use the resources God has given us to face these problems, to become a blessings to others? You know, the church history taught us one thing about the church. The church often becomes corrupt and diminishes under long prosperity. Okay? Church history told us before, like 500 AD, church went through tremendous persecution. And they grew, become strong. And then here comes a 1,000 years of prosperity. They have what? They have power. They have money. And that is the period, we call it the dark period. Dark ages. The church in China has been there for years and years and years. But then suddenly exploded to 10 times more Christians. Under what? Under persecution. It grows and becomes stronger under persecution. And I believe that is actually that's exactly what happened during the time Peter was writing the epistles of 1 and 2 Peter. Even Paul says, he says, do not waste these special time. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We, each one of us, are called to be a good soldier. Okay? We are called to be good soldier. Peter knows that his time of meeting the Lord is near. So he wrote his admonitions to the church, 1st and 2nd Peter, and to the church under the tremendous persecution. And he said, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. God has told Peter, your time is about up, so put your life in order. Okay? So he wrote that. Now, I was thinking about the war, you know. We're talking about fighting. The most glorious victory is to conquer without any bloodshed. And the most effective strategy is to accomplish, is to do a psychological warfare that messes enemies' mind. And unfortunately, this is not something we use to our enemy, but our enemies is doing that to us. Who's our enemy? There's only one. There's only one. Not your brother, not your sister, not your boss, not your wife or husband. Who's our arch enemy? Satan. Okay? But you know what? Satan does not have any power over you. He doesn't. Especially to those who has the Holy Spirit live in it. We have the Holy Spirit reside in us. So he cannot come in. He can still deceive you. So the one thing he does the most is deception. He tried to mess with our minds. So we need to be very, very careful about what we think or what we put into our mind. It reminds me about a story I heard some time ago. I really like this story. It has something to do with your identity. You may even heard this story. It's a very, very well known. But anyway, a phys ed student, he graduated. You know, in fact, he has the same specialty with Josh. What's that? Gymnasium. Okay? And he has a hard time to find a job. He tried and tried, and he just couldn't find a job. Finally, he has to settle with the only job available in the zoo. So he wasn't very happy, but he said, well, nothing else, you know, can't choose. The decision was very easy. There's only one, you know, one thing. And he said, well, I like animal anyway. So he went, and then he found out something different. They said, well, you know, the reason we are impressed with your background is that our gorilla just died. And that the gorilla is a very, very popular, you know, animal in our zoo. So what we needed you to do is we need you to put on the gorilla suit and then pretend to be the gorilla. And so people will see, and you and because you're gymnasium, so you can really, you know, do a good job. He said, okay. No choice. So he did that. And gradually, he's get the hang of it. He really enjoyed it. He becomes so good at it. He did a lot of tricks the gorilla couldn't do. So he become very, very popular. It really attracted a lot of people. One day he was just so enjoying himself, enjoying the thing. And he outdone himself. He flew trying to get to the other branches, and he flew over the fence into the tiger cage. Now he was very, very, well, you can just imagine. All right? And he's the fighting, and he's, And finally, suddenly, the tiger just jumped over, and he started crying, help, help! And suddenly, the tiger said, shut up, Otherwise, well, both of us are going to lose our job. I don't know. The story didn't say that, but I think probably the tiger was one of his classmates. But anyway, the point of the story is that this student gradually suddenly lost his identity. He thought he was the gorilla. Your identity has a lot to do with what you do, you know. So, you know, a good soldier of Christ must know his or her true identity and a mission. Because identity determines your behavior and attitude. The question is, who am I, right? We all need to know, who am I? And the mission determines your action and result. What must I do? And that is very important to all of us. And these are the two lenses I use to look into the text for today. So, first of all, about identity. Identity determines your behavior. And the first identity I thought about is actually not from today's text, but rather from 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, "We are Christ's ambassador." We are Christ's ambassador. And being a Christ's ambassador, being an ambassador, what are you doing? What is your identity? You are representing a nation. If we are Christ's identity, we are representing Christ. I don't know if you have seen some of the TV or movies about certain things. I have seen a few. It talk about foreign affair officials. It's from Arabia, country that the son of one of the sheikhs. It's part of these foreign affair officials in their embassy. And he just did all kind of things, strange, wrong things. And he always come back to say, well, I have the immunity. He did all kind of things wrong. And that is the wrong thing to do, because even if you do have the immunity, you will not get the punishment you deserve, yet you are representing your country or representing king. So therefore, here, verse 13, it reminded us, what are we supposed to do? First of all, be alert. My number one enemy, I consider about myself, is that this mind of mine, it refuses to submit to my better judgment. And the reason is that is because I put too much garbage in it. Listen to the wrong thing, watch, read the wrong thing, gradually it messes with my mind. So here, Peter reminded us we need to be alert so that we know what is going on and be sober. I need to be clear-headed over my environment, my situation, or know who are friends and the enemies, lest I be deceived. It is hard to, sometimes it's kind of hard to be alert to differentiate what's right, what's wrong, what's good, bad, or whatever. But when you are not sober, then forget it. You will not be able to make even a very, very obvious decisions. About this sobriety reminded me about another identity situation. There are some sailors. You all heard about sailors. What do they like to do once they get out, get on the shore? What does a sailor like to do? Get drunk. Okay? So here are two sailors. They, as expected of them, they are on the shore, and they got drunk. And then, here comes, in the morning, foggy, they got lost. They don't know where they are, and they just moping around and trying, just couldn't find where they are. And, oh, here comes somebody. Oh, it actually looked like a general. A well-known general. They ought to know him, but they didn't. So they say, "Hey, sir, where are we?" It was drunk. Okay? And the general was not very happy. "My soldier really misrepresenting, the Navy." So he said, "Do you know who am I?" The soldier looked at each other. They saw, "Oh no, we are really in trouble. We don't know where we are. He doesn't know who he is." Well, when you're not sober, you got into the situation that is kind of hard to get out. Being an ambassador, you need to watch yourself. And then in verse 14, it says, "We are obedient children." Just these two words, it gives us something to think about. First of all, I am ignorant no more. If you look at verse 14, we should not be ignorant. We are God's children. A changed life. Once you know who you are, then you ought to know how to behave. A changed life is the best testimonial. Okay? So oftentimes I said, to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, who would be most effective? Most people say, "Of course, pastor. He knows what he's talking about. And he has experience. He's received the training for it," right? All of these things. But I said, no. Actually, the most effective one is a good Christian. Because being a pastor, when I preach the gospel to some people, I acted like a salesman. I get paid to say what I'm supposed to say, right? The worst kind of salesman is like the person who really, really like Pepsi. But somehow, like the phys ed student, he couldn't find a job except in the Coke company. So, he went to work for the Coke company, and then on his desk, he put the Pepsi on it. Now that would not work very well. Now, you see, for being a pastor, I preach the gospel, people expect that's what you get paid to do. That's what you're supposed to do. So whatever I say, they probably, are being polite. However, if a Christian, he's not getting paid to do it. He believed it. He lived it. And then he shared with other people. And people know he's not getting paid to do it. It's like, I bought a vacuum cleaner, and then I tell other people that vacuum cleaner is really, really good. How good it is. And sometimes people will actually ask, "Why are you doing that? Are you getting paid for this?" Jokingly, right? But people really take it in, because you are not getting paid for it. So if you really like the product, show it. The product sells itself. So when I am a children of God, I have a new identity, and my life should be changed. And I conform not to evil desire. I used to have all kind of evil desires, and now I know who am I, then I need to act like it. So I must flee temptations. The Bible tells us, don't fight temptations. Sometimes you do. under certain circumstances, but the best way to do is flee. Just get away from it. And I have a father to please. I am no longer a orphan. I know who is my father. I know he loves me. I know he's with me. And I know he wants me to be proud of him. And I know that he wants to be proud of me. That's my identity. So therefore, I want to do whatever that pleases him. Thy will be done, not mine. Who set the good example? Jesus himself, right? And I am also a called worker. Verse 15 to 16. Called by God. So therefore, if I am called, then I need to live a life worthy of the calling that I have received. And therefore, in verse 16, it says, you must be holy. You must be holy. Holy is to identify with God rather than the world. Because God called us out from the world. In fact, you know what the original word church means? We are very familiar with the word church, okay? What is church? Original meaning of the word church, meaning the people being called out of the world. A group of people being called out of the world. We are being separated from the world to be identified with God and being God's children. And that calling out, separate from the world, that's the definition of holy means. So, we need to follow everything, all the principles directly from God and God's Word. And here I said about Achan. Do you remember who's Achan? He is the only one did not follow the instruction by Joshua when Joshua went into Jericho. He is not supposed to take anything. But he become, what you call it? He become greedy. He kept something for himself. And then it turned out the whole army was affected because there is a breach in the army. The army has to be integrated. If there is a little breach, then the whole thing could fail. And I have many, many different kind of experience of that. I used to work for a railroad, and the railroad have those big, big wheel. Each wheel is about 800 pounds, and they need to work on it, and they use to chuck things. They turn it. If they become too worn, they reshape it, and they use a real, real strong chuck. And then they turn it to make it good. However, one thing I noticed is the last thing they do. Finally, when they're done, they use a grinder to grind all those chuck mark. You know that when you're trying to turn this thing with the cutter, it takes a lot of force to chuck it. So it leaves a mark on the wheel. And then, before they release it, they grind off that chuck mark. And I thought, my, why are you wasting time for that? That's just cosmetic. Who's going to look at that? But I learned, no, that's not the case, because when you have the little tiny, tiny, tiny chuck mark, it creates a stress point under the bigger stress, and that's where the wheel could start to crack. And once that started to crack, the whole wheel gone, can you imagine what happened to the train? And that happens too many times. That's why they do that. A tiny little breach could create tremendous problem. And this is very important. I am a sojourner just passing by. Oh my, my time's running away from me. So, need to live in a reverent fear. Why? Because first of all, as a sojourner, my time is limited. So we should have a sense of urgency. Now, most of here are young people. I have a lot of time. And homework, it takes me about 2 hours, I'm done. So I spend a lot of time to play video games and to do a lot of other things. Because I have a lot of time. No, you are not sure about that. We lost the sense of urgency. Remember your identity, and then you ought to know what to do. And then you need to be ready to go anytime. To go have two meanings. To go where you are reassigned. I need to do whatever I'm assigned to do right now to do a good job until I'm reassigned. But of course, it also might be to go to Jesus. Peter had the sense that he's about to go to see Jesus. So he's put down all these things to remind us not to be entangled with or burdened with non-essentials. Now, you know why swimmers wear the kind of a swimsuit they wear? Why the runners did not dress up in the polo shirt and the designer's jean? Because you don't want to entangle yourself with that. I heard that story. Someone was traveling to a certain place, and that certain place is the home of a good and very reputable holy man. He's very, very influential. He wanted to see him to get some wisdom from him. So he went over there, knocked the door, and then go in there. The first thing hit him, and he forgot why he was here. The first thing hit him is, this guy has no furniture. Just a bed, not even bed, just some bedding on the floor. So he just stunned. He said, "Sir, where are your furnitures?" And this wise man, you know what he says? He said, "What is your furniture?" That is ridiculous, most ridiculous question. He traveled such a long time to see him. And he just asked a very innocent question, "Where's your furniture?" And he returned, he said, "What is your furniture?" He said, "Sir, I'm traveling." And the man says, "Me too. I'm traveling. I'm not going to have anything that is non-essential." He was very, very focused. And that is something reminded me so much that I need to start getting rid of things that is holding me down rather than promoting me. Now, I need to go real, real fast. Okay, mission determines action. If you don't have a mission in your life, if you don't have a mission even for this year, you will waste a lot of time, may not be intentionally, because you just don't know what you're supposed to do. If you're in college, well, at least you know you have a temporary mission. If you're in the school, you know you do have a mission. So not only you need to know your identity is going to help you to determine what is your mission, and your mission determines what you're supposed to do every day. Christ's mission is very, not simple, but we all know very clearly. He is to come here to redeem us. With the mission defined, then comes the action, right? What he must do, Christ He need to do a lot of things. He modeling a perfect life to pay with his blood and life as ransom for all of us. He was resurrected and sent it to heaven and all these things. That's what he must do himself. But he also entrusted others to do. He had disciples. And these disciples become disciplers. What is the disciples to do? They disciple other disciples to come to, he disciples the disciples to come in the future disciples to carry on the Great Commission. That's what Christ is supposed to do. How about us? Our mission? To receive and experience the truth as God's children. God, through Christ, call us. He redeemed us. He reconciled us between us and God. He reconciled us. So we can experience the peace with God. But he also entrusted us to be the reconcilers of other people and God. He called us, reconcile us with God, so that now we become reconcilers of other people with God. That is to preach the gospel and hope as Christ's ambassador. And those, so therefore, what's our action? To live the gospel by loving each other. That's from verse 22 to 25th that you can look at, okay? First of all, we need to live the gospel in our life, not just in the church, okay? If you do that only in the church, then you become a hypocrite. You think you believe one thing, but in your life, you're not carrying out. Actually, most of us are unintentional hypocrites. Some people are actually professional hypocrites. And another name that is called politicians. That's not very nice to say because not all politicians like that. Not only we need to live the gospel, but also to preach that gospel. Because there are times you do need to open your mouth to share. And it's very important and very interesting in verse 24-25. It talks about flowers and the grass and how soon they will be gone. And so don't pay attention to those things and just focus on gospel. Okay? Is that true? That's what I thought what it says. Later on I discovered, no. It's more than that. Just go home. If you have a home, try that. Flowers, don't worry about it. Grass, don't worry about it. Just let them grow. Okay? What would be the result? First, your neighbor is going to get on your back. And then the city is going to get on your back. And then, thirdly, somebody's going to say, I thought you are Christian. So the point here really is not about not knocking the temporal things. Temporal things is given to us as a resource for a time. So we need to use these temporal things, like the grass and the flowers, like our time, our money, our ability, our talent, and our love for the people. Use these things to propagate the eternal truth. And the best description I ever heard from somebody is from Jim Elliot. He described it this way. He is no fool to lose what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. To lose what he cannot keep. How do you lose something if it doesn't belong to you? Right? I just lost $1 million. Would you believe that? You probably wouldn't, because I've never had $1 million. So, these flowers and this grass, it's in my possession. The time and money, however little I have. What God is saying, invest these things. Invest these temporal things that you cannot keep anyway in exchange for something that's eternal. Think about that and then practice that. Yes, you can enjoy things. You can enjoy these temporal things. But don't be bound by these things. Don't become addicted to it, because that's not your life. God gave us limited resources so that we can do what He called us to do. So let's not hold back when it comes to investing in the kingdom of God. So, the takeaways: a good soldier must know his identity. Our identity is many. Here's just some example: ambassador, children of God, we are God's worker, and we're sojourners. According to our identity, we know how to act, how to behave. And he must know he needs to have the character of Christ by imitating him. We need to imitate Christ. And he must know the Great Commission. Identity decide your mission. Our mission of life is that Great Commission. And he need to know his weaponry. I know everything except I don't have a weapon to go onto the field. And even if you do have the weapon, if you don't go through the training on the field, or even before you go on the field, even within the training camp, you are a danger. Right? Try to give your M16 to a 5-year-old. No, you don't want to do that. So we need to know our weaponry. Our weapon is the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God, and know how to use it. Do you know how to use your weapon? First of all, you have to carry it. And then know how to use it. Study it and practice it. Then you become very, very powerful. A powerful person with a powerful weapon is the person who knows how to use it, when to use it, and when not to use it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for reminding us our life is not a boring existence. It is something very exciting. You are inviting us to go on an adventure with you that is exciting yet secure. Lord, teach us more so we know who we are and how we are supposed to live. For you, in your name, and for your sake, because this is what you call us to be and to do. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.